I got a challenge for you guys, okay? And it involves some cash, okay? Do I have your interest? I know Lucas is trying to save up. What are you trying to save up for? What kind of Lego set? Lego Batman is what he's saving. Are you saving up for anything? Whatever comes your way? Okay. So you're not a planner. You're like an instinct buyer, impulse buyer. Okay. Guys, come on up here on stage. I have two backpacks here, okay? And the challenge is, you're going to take turns here. Let's come over here. Challenge is for you to pick up a backpack and carry it over to Jesus over there, over to that sign over there. I'll be over there with some cash in my hand. And if you make it, you get the cash. Is that simple enough? Okay, Lucas, I'm going to let you go first. Oh, man. I don't know. Oh, gosh. You think you could do this? All right, stand on that thing right there. Okay. All right, just hold it right here. Don't pick it up yet, okay? Don't let it fall. Okay. I'll stand over here. And I got $1 for you. $1. All you have to do is carry that pack to me. You can't drag it. You got to pick it up. You don't necessarily have to put it on your back, but that might be the easiest way to carry it. All right, go. Can you do it? Come on, Lucas, you can do it. Oh, my goodness. So easy. So easy. Wait a minute, don't go anywhere. It's Lucas. It's Sammy's turn. Come back over here, Lucas. Now, I gave you $1. For this time, Sammy has the opportunity to earn $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $6. Okay? Life is not fair. Get used to it. Okay. Ugh. Okay, now don't pick it up yet. Here, just hold it right there. Okay. Sammy, this challenge is the same. I'm over here and I got $6, got higher stakes. All you have to do is pick up that pack and carry it over here, but you cannot drag it. Go. Come on, Sammy, you can do it. Okay. All right. Okay. Is it too heavy? He doesn't want to admit it. Did you see that? No, you can't. No. Is it too heavy, Sammy? Yes. Okay. You have to admit it. You have defeat. You did not get to do it. But however, I'm going to give you another opportunity. This time, you can enlist a couple people to help you. Lucas may be one of them. So would you like to pick Lucas and one more person from the crowd here? Lucas, who else? You better get somebody strong. And I can't do it, so I'm up here. Is Alec here?
No.
Oh, you picked the right one, but Alec's not here. What do you think, Sammy? Charles, come on up here. Okay. So I know what... Stretch out. Lucas packed for one night. Sammy evidently packed for a month here. And let's see, what we're going to do is we're going to lighten your load, okay, by asking Lucas and Charles to help carry a few things. There's some clothes. That's no big deal, right? Wait a minute, what's this? Oh, goodness. Oh, why did you pack blocks in here? Are you going to build a house on your vacation? What's in? Oh, we got pavers. Okay. All right, so, Lucas, I'm wondering if you could carry that. Is that too heavy? Oh, wait a minute. Here, let's load you up. Put your hands up. All right. Sammy here, grab some Load Up Lucas. All right, Charles, see what else we got for you in here. Okay. Okay. Oh, we got more clothes. That's no big deal. You pull it. This is a bag of gravel. Here you go, Charles. Okay. You okay there, Lucas? Taking a little break? Okay. Now, Sammy, you can go back to the other way if you want and try it again and get the whole $6 for yourself. Or you can get these guys to help you and split the money. So you can have $6 or $2 each. So what do you want to do? That's a good, wise decision right there. He's going to split it. Okay. Now, these guys may not want your money, right? You may get more than $2. All right, put that on. Put it on both my arms here because you're going to need this other one. All right, here's this. All right, Lucas, you ready? Oh, don't forget this. Here, let me help you up. Okay. Let me get over here in position. All right, get my money. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, Sammy, bring your load over here. Yes! All right, just set it down there. Don't drop it hard. All right, Sammy, as promised, here is your $6. You can do, oh, okay. He's dividing it up equally, it looks like. Okay, congratulations, guys. Thank you for helping me. Lucas and Sammy really wanted that money. They were motivated to go get that money themselves. And Sammy was hesitant to ask for help, wasn't he? He kept trying to do it himself, but it was just, he had to acquiesce and give up and admit defeat and ask for help. I'll tell you about my rental house. The house I bought when I moved here in Memphis in 90s, I bought it in 97. And it's been a rental house for many of those years. The house is built on a conventional foundation. It's not concrete. It's dirt with a crawl space underneath. All the air conditioning duct is under there and the plumbing is under there. Well, the house kind of sits in a low area. So when it rains, water just comes and goes under the house. It doesn't help that there's no gutters on the house. And so water has been sitting under the house for a long time. It was built in 1955. Over the years, twice, either I've done it or John Mullins and some others helped me do it, we crawled under there, and I don't think John could get in that crawl space today. It's a tight little spot. We might have to lube him up with some Vaseline to get him in there, but me too. So we've gone under there and tried to just patch it up with what you call sistering. And that's like you take another 2x6 or 2x8, I think there are 2x6s under there, and you match it up to the bad one, okay? And you screw it in with some brackets and some screws and secure it to the good wood, if you can find any. And then that, and you can jack it up a little bit and then put it up there, put some new concrete or brick pylons under it, right? So the problem is, the wood is rotting. It's really soft. And it's noticeable when you walk in the floor and you go, oh, there's a little dip right here. So twice we've gone and patched it up. My renters just moved out. They've been in there for 8 years, which is awesome. They're great renters. I went in the house, And this, it is dangerous at this point. It is really sunken in. So I've been getting bids because, you know, I mean, I want to fix it myself, right? I want to get under there again and do what I could do because I'm a fix-it guy. I like to fix broken things. I may not be very good at it, but I enjoy doing it. And I have this, I feel this responsibility to do it myself, to get in there. If I break something, I want to fix it. If somebody else breaks something and I have opportunity, I want to work on it. I love painting and drywall. Some of y'all hate painting. I like to paint. I like doing drywall work. I like that kind of stuff. But this project, I have to admit, is too heavy of a load for me to carry. I can't do it. It's way too much. And I have to admit that I need professional help. Now, you may have been saying about that about me for a long time. You need professional help, Barry. But I need professionals. I need contractors and framers and plumbers. I need an HVAC guy and electrician to put my house back together. And I've gotten two estimates so far. One guy says, okay, the way to fix this right is to jack up the whole house, tear out all the hardwood flooring, tear out all the subfloor because it's bad, tear out all the floor joists because they're bad, and tear out the main beams under the house. And when you do that, things are going to shift and settle, so all your drywall is going to crack. Your cabinets might fall off the wall. You need to totally gut the house. We need to totally gut the house and start fresh. Not knock it all down, but from the inside, take all the drywall, everything out. Oh, man. His estimate came back at $108,000. Are you kidding me? I had another bid that came in. This guy said, you know, you don't have to do all that. We can do this and this and this. It'll be safe. It's a rental house. Come on, we're not going to rebuild it. And his bid came in about $20,000. That includes adding a bathroom and fixing the laundry room. So I got a couple more bids that are coming in. But this tension I feel between, first of all, if you know me, you know I'm a spendthrift. I don't like to spend money. So I had this tension, this conflict about not wanting to spend money and then how much it's going to cost. There's tension there. There's also tension because I don't want someone else to fix it. I want to fix it. So I had this tension because it's too big. It's too big of a project for me to do it. I see the same thing going on, the backpacks in my rental house story. Same thing goes on in my spiritual life. I'm a fix-it guy. When something's wrong with me, I want to fix it. I don't want to go and ask for help. I don't need your help. I caused the problem. I can fix it. Or even if I didn't cause the problem, if it was just circumstances around me that's put me under a heavy burden, I still want to lift myself up and take care of the problem myself. It is my responsibility to take care of my family. It is my responsibility to do my job at church. And yet, sometimes the tasks I face are too big for me. Whether it's my own sin and the consequences of my own sin, or whether it's circumstances that I have no control over. A death of a family member. That's a heavy burden to bear. And no one should have to bear that burden alone. Losing your job, getting fired, financial stress, having to file bankruptcy. Those are heavy burdens to bear. Disease, sickness is a heavy burden to bear. Tina and Lee Bounds are taking care of their mom, Miss Anita. Miss Anita fell last night and broke her hip. And so she's at Methodist North Hospital. And they may do surgery. They're not sure. She's been on blood thinner. You know how that works. So they have to do a lot of tests. And we went to see her last night. And Lee and Tina. And, you know, they already had a heavy burden. And those of you who've been caregivers know that being a caregiver is probably one of the hardest things you could do. I've heard. I haven't been there. It's a heavy, heavy burden that we should not try to bear all by ourselves. So, whether I like it or not, I got to get some help with my rental property. And whether I like it or not, there are some burdens I'm carrying that I need your help with. And I bet it's vice versa. It's reciprocal. I bet you, maybe not right now, but in the past, maybe in the future, there are going to be burdens that are too heavy for you to carry by yourself. What keeps us from asking for help? Let me just ask you that. What kinds of things, I want you to actually give me answers, okay? What kinds of things keep you from asking for help? Pride, I heard several people say pride. Anything else? Inconvenient, don't want to inconvenience someone, yeah? You don't want to look weak, that's right. Indebtedness. Selfish, shame, fear, embarrassed. We could go on and on. There's lots of reasons. And you know what? We're all in the same boat, aren't we? There's this tension between what our responsibilities are and what we need help with. Do you feel the conflict that I'm talking about? Maybe in this conflict, you're dead set on doing it yourself, and you're setting up a path to crash and burn. Maybe you're the kind of person who is too quick to jump in to help somebody else out with their problems. And being too quick to help somebody else out, you're actually harming them rather than helping them. Kind of like that butterfly that's trying to break his way out of the cocoon. He has to struggle with coming out of the cocoon because that's how the blood rushes through his wings and he builds up muscle. And if you go to the cocoon and kind of help him out and cut him out, he'll never fly. So are you too quick to just jump in and help somebody too quickly? Or are you too quick to receive help from people? You're more like a sponge that soaks up everybody else's generosity, everybody else's grace. And your sense of responsibility is not as high as other people's. Maybe you're too afraid or too proud to help somebody. Pride works both ways. We're too proud to ask for help, and sometimes we're too proud to help somebody. And we're talking about pain, sorrow, we're talking about temptation, we're talking about sin. Why is this important? It's important because if you're too far over here on the it's my responsibility side, then your life is going to be out of balance. You may assume a martyr mentality. You know what a martyr mentality is? The martyr mentality says, okay, I got to go help again. I don't really want to. Why can't they take care of themselves? Why do they still make the same decisions over and over and over again? There are so many unwise things they've chosen to do, and sin maybe, and no one's helping me. I mean, I'm here all by myself. So it can come to that, right? If you're over here on my responsibility, then you may be standing in pride, right? Self-assurance. I don't need anybody else's help. You're out of balance. If you're over here and you lean towards receiving too much help too quickly, then you are not going to live up to your potential. You're always going to be relying on somebody else to carry your load for you. What if Lucas had a light load? What if Charles jumped up? Lucas has put his pack on and he started walking and Charles said, "Oh, whoa, 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 let me help you with that." Lucas would have had to split his dollar in half. That would have been too soon. Lucas can do it. And at the same time, if we would just let Sammy struggle forever up here and nobody would help him, that causes damage. in our lives. So there's this tension. There's this conflict between two things, personal responsibility and mutual accountability. Galatians chapter 6, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, restore that person gently. But watch out for yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the world should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So how do we do this? Paul is talking about two things. He's talking about, over here, personal responsibility, and over here, we're going to call it mutual accountability. These are the things that are in conflict. Mutual accountability, being accountable to helping each other, and what is my load to carry, my responsibility. Personal responsibility and mutual accountability are the two things that are coming together here. And we, like you said, if we lean heavily this way or heavily this way, our life is out of balance, we're off kilter, and we're not going to live up to the potential that God has for us. So how do you live a balanced life? That's what Paul's talking about here. On the surface, there are many things in this little scripture that seem to be, actually, they look pretty random. This is the end of the letter to the Galatians. And it seems kind of random. It seems like you just tax on some things at the end. Oh, by the way, carry each other's burdens. Oh, by the way, you know, he lists some things. And we didn't read the whole chapter. There's even more. They seem random. They seem disconnected to the rest of the book or even to each other on the first glance. I mean, some things even look contradictory, like this. He says, carry each other's burdens in verses 1, 2, and 3. But then he says, but everyone is expected to carry his own burdens. Which is it? Do we carry our own burdens or do we carry each other's burdens? Then he says this, don't be conceited. Be humble. But then he seems to contradict himself, but take pride in yourself. What? Which is it, Paul? Then again, we didn't read this next verse, but towards the end of the chapter, in verse 14, Paul says, may I never boast in anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a clue right there of what that contradiction really means. We don't boast in ourselves. We boast in ourselves in Christ. So we have personal responsibility and mutual accountability. The chapter 6 chapter heading is really not in a good spot because this chapter is so connected to what happens in chapter 5 that we talked about last week. They're so connected to this idea of freedom. And in chapter 5, verses 1 and 13, we're not going to read that. We read it last week. But Paul calls us to be free. He says, you have been made free for the sake of being free, for freedom's sake. He says, we have the freedom to love everybody, to accept everybody, to include everybody. And we have the freedom to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to live by the fruit of the Spirit. That's all in chapter 5. And that's the undersource, that's the foundation for all this stuff in chapter 6. So let's break down chapter 6, verses 1 through, I think we're going to do 1 through 5. And I'm just going to take phrase by phrase and see what we can gather, okay? And then we'll put it back together. So verse 1, brothers and sisters, If someone is caught in a sin, here we see the idea of mutual accountability. Brothers and sisters, right? It's a family. We're going to take care of ourselves. And if you see a brother or sister who is caught in sin, now that word caught there doesn't mean, ha, I caught you. Doesn't mean that at all. The word caught in the Greek means to slip, right? To fall, to be trapped by suddenly. It's like you're walking down the path and you misstep and you go off the path into a danger zone. When we see that, brothers and sisters, what are we going to do about it? You who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Living by the Spirit is over here. It's my personal responsibility. Nobody can live by the Spirit for me. That is my responsibility. I need to take ownership of that. That means, like in chapter 5, I'm going to live, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to be led by the Spirit, and I'm going to keep in step with the Spirit, and I'm going to produce the fruit of the Spirit, all in chapter 5. That's what it means to live by the Spirit. No one else can do that for you. It's your responsibility. Then he says, we need to restore them gently. And that word restore, well, let's go back to gently. Paul just listed the fruit of the Spirit. Remember what they were? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Gentleness was one of those fruits of the Spirit. He ends chapter 5 by saying, hey, live by the fruits of the Spirit. Don't be provoking one another. Don't be envying one another. Don't be conceited. Instead, the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And when you restore this brother with being gentle, now I'm not the most gentle person in the world. I'm like a bull in a china shop, Liz tells me all the time. Whether it's doing dishes or whether it's trying to communicate with people, I'm going to ram it home. I need to grow in the fruit of the Spirit of gentleness. And I know that. It's got me in trouble many times with different people. Have to go back and apologize. The word restore there means to mend. It's used elsewhere in the New Testament to mean to mend nets that are broken. So it means to restore, to mend, to heal, to put back together. And in the secular Greek, it's the word used for resetting a broken bone. Now, I've never had to have a bone reset. I've seen movies where they reset bones, and there's a lot of screaming going on. When you have a broken bone that needs to be reset, do you want a sadist to fix it for you? Someone who likes to inflict pain? Or do you want a doctor who is as gentle as he can be? It's going to be painful either way. But we want to help restore our brothers and sisters in as gentle a way as possible. Again, I'm preaching to myself here. So it's our mutual accountability to restore that brother or sister who's caught in sin and to do it gently. No one else can do that for us. Then he says, and still in verse 1, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let's work backwards in this one. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is basically the law of love. As Paul has spent 5 chapters so far telling the Gentile Christians in Galatia, hey, you are free from the law. You're free from the Jewish law. You don't have to follow its rules and regulations, its rituals. You're free from that type of religion. And now he turns around and says, oh, but there's another law that you're under, Christians, and that is the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Again, let's go back to chapter 5, because he tells us, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be what? But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. There is the law of Christ. And if you look at the teachings of Christ, the parables of Christ, the way Christ lived, his law was love God and love people. The whole Old Testament religion, the prophets, the Torah, the instructions, everything, the law is summed up in these two things: love God and love people. And that is the love of Christ. We love and serve one another humbly in Christ, as if that person were ourselves. That's the law of Christ. Just keep working backwards here. He says we're to carry each other's burdens. Now, this word carry here means a load, but it does not mean a load that is too heavy to carry. We'll get to that word in just a minute. We're to carry each other's burdens. We're to be Charles and Lucas who come beside Sammy, and it's too heavy, so we pick it up and we carry it for him. And this is mutual accountability, right? We're helping carrying other people's burdens, but guess what? It's also my personal responsibility to do my part to help out. Then we can go all the way back to watch yourselves. What do you mean watch? What am I looking out for? He says, watch yourselves lest you be tempted. We don't want to be like the Levite and the priest in the story that Jesus tells about the Good Samaritan. You know, there's somebody in the ditch who's left dying in the ditch. They beat him, they robbed him, they left him to die. And the Levite and the priest are walking along, you know, they just ignore him. They don't want to be bothered. They keep going about their business. And you know the story. The Good Samaritan is the one who comes and he gets the guy out of the ditch. And guess what? He's carrying his burdens. This guy, his burdens are too heavy to carry himself. He can't even get out of the ditch. So the Good Samaritan loads his load on his back and carries the guy and takes care of him. Watch yourselves, though, because when someone is in a ditch, and that ditch may be some sin that they're in, be careful. Be wise. Because when they reach their hand for help and you reach them, they can pull you down. And then you have two people under a load that they can't carry. And neither can help each other one out. So it is my personal responsibility when I'm helping someone to be wise in how I help. For instance, if you really struggle with looking at pornography, I mean, you really struggle with it, and you find out a brother is also struggling with it. They found that you're struggling with it. And they come to you and they say, man, can you be my accountability partner? Can you get emails of everything I look at on my devices? And just, you know, if you're doing that for me, I'm less likely to involve myself in pornography. But if you really struggle with pornography, guess what your wise answer should be? I can't do that. I don't want to get back in the ditch with that load that is on you right now. But I know somebody who will do it for you. So we have to be wise. We have to watch out. Now, we have to watch out because we might be tempted by the sin, but there's other things we need to watch out for. And let's see what that is. If anyone thinks, this is verse 3, if anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Then they take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. So that first part of verse 3, whoever thinks he's something when he's not deceives himself, is the other thing we have to watch out for: pride. So it's easy when someone's down and out and you're helping them up. Again, this could be consequences of sin. It could be consequences that he had nothing to do with, but he's stuck. He's got a heavy burden. So when we go to him, it's easy for us to be prideful and to have an attitude of superiority. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you grow spiritually so you can be more like me. You don't say those words, do you? But don't we feel that sometimes? So you can help someone with the wrong motives, be full of conceit and pride, and actually even disdaining the person. Got to watch ourselves. Then he says you got to take pride in yourselves alone without comparing yourself to someone else. Verse 14, he says, May I never boast except in the cross of Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We take pride in ourselves, but it's not the bad kind of pride. It's the quiet pride, the quiet assurance and confidence that what you're doing lines up with the law of Christ. And we can take quiet pride in aligning our lives with the Spirit, living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, producing fruits of the Spirit, and being in under the law of Christ. We should feel good about that. Take a quiet pride. But it is not in comparing yourself to each other. It's not a boastful look at me kind of attitude. No, it's because of Jesus. He's got me set on the right foot. I can boast in Jesus because of what he's done in my life. When we have growth group questions, sometimes some of the discussion questions, they're asked and people just don't answer. It's like quietness, uncomfortable quietness. And someone finally says, you know, I feel like if I answer that question, I'm bragging on myself. Maybe the question's worded poorly, but this same idea here. It's not about you. It's about what Christ is doing in you. That's the difference between these two kind of prides. In verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. What? Didn't he just say we got to carry each other's load? Well, there's two different Greek words here. In verse 2, the word is translated as burden. That Greek word means it is a heavy burden that is too much for one person to carry. But in verse 5, when he says everyone should carry their own load, that is a load that is like a backpack. It is meant to be carried by one person. It's like the backpack that Lucas carried. Those two phrases right there are perfect examples of, over here, carry each other's burdens, mutual accountability, and everyone must carry his own load, personal responsibility. Let's keep working through here. If you look back through, and I got some of this from a guy named Scott McKnight, who wrote NIV Application Commentary. So this phrase, mutual accountability, personal responsibility, is not mine, it's his. And he does the whole chapter. We're just going to do the first 5 verses. Mutual accountability, we see at the beginning. Brothers and sisters, restore those people gently. Personal responsibility, live by the Spirit. Mutual accountability again. Carry each other's burdens. Personal responsibility. Serve in humility. Examine yourself. Watch out. And carry your own load. That theme goes on the rest of the chapter, but we don't have time to look at all that. Take a look at this video. This is a great example of mutual accountability and personal responsibility. This guy is going for a world record of bench pressing. His name is Tiny, by the way.
Let's go, Tiny. 1,102 pounds.
But even though it was a personal world record, he could not have done it without people beside him. Studying those weights, right? Watching so he didn't crush his chest. And they're always right there, ready to grab it. And then when he gets all the way up, he's like, okay, I'm far enough for the world record. Okay, let's help him up. It's both. There's personal responsibility in living by the Spirit. No one else can do that for you. It's your responsibility to love other people and to help other people out. But we need each other when our loads are too heavy to carry for ourselves. Living under the law of Christ requires both mutual accountability and personal responsibility. Say that with me. Living under the law of Christ requires both mutual accountability and personal responsibility. We want balance. Jesus was very balanced in this. Jesus showed ultimate personal responsibility. He showed ultimate mutual accountability. He is our example. He was responsible to get alone and pray and stay connected with his Father all the time. He was responsible in learning the Hebrew Scriptures. No one else could do that for him. How many people did Jesus help when he was on earth? And continues to help. He is our hero. Hosanna to the Son of David. Save us, Lord. Save us from ourselves. Wrapping up Galatians, we need to be saved from ourselves and our own sin, our own self-determined ways to make it right with God, to earn favor with God, just like the Galatians. We need to be set free from that by the law of Christ. The gospel of grace is given by God through our faith in Jesus Christ. So what does this look like for you tomorrow? Number one, pray. You need to pray for your own spiritual health. A greater love for God, to be more in tune with the Spirit. And we need to pray for other people. We need to pray for wisdom. We need to pray specifically for eyes of discernment. So you can see when someone needs help. In fact, that's the second one here. We need to look. We need to ask God to open up our eyes and look purposefully, intently, to see if there's somebody struggling with a load that's too heavy to carry. And we just prayed for wisdom and discernment in knowing how and when to help that person. So pray, look, examine. Examine yourself, your attitudes. Is there pride? Is there conceit? Is there envy? Is there disdain? Is there fear? Is there shame? Is there guilt? We could go on and on and on. That's between you and the Lord. It's your responsibility to examine yourself regularly and to accept help when people offer it, and even ask for help when your load is too heavy. Imagine what a difference this would make in our own spiritual lives if we worked on having this balance between personal responsibility and mutual accountability. We would be so much more healthy when it emotionally and spiritually, relationally. We could stop depending so much on ourselves and our own efforts. We could be free from the pressure to perform and put up this fake perfection facade. We could experience freedom. And we would be more open to accepting people and accepting help, and we'd be less judgmental. No one in our midst would have to carry burdens that are too heavy all by themselves if we took this seriously. Galatians is a great book. I said a few weeks ago, my only regret is we did a 5-week study of Galatians and we couldn't cover everything. There's so much more in this book. If you dig deep, you can just keep going and going. But here's a few things, a few highlights from our series. Followers of Christ are called out by Christ, by his grace. Christ calls us out. Followers of Christ are called to help others experience Christ's calling and grace. Followers of Christ have been righteous, or they have been made righteous by God's grace. Followers of Christ enter into God's family, not through our works, not through our own abilities and strengths, not by keeping the rules and regulations and rituals of some religion, but by God's grace through faith. Followers of Christ have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live because Christ lives in us. Through faith in Jesus, expressed in our baptism, followers of Christ become heirs of God. They become heirs of the blessing. We become free sons of God, not slaves. Followers of Christ are set free by Christ, not their own efforts. Followers of Christ are set free to serve and love, not to abuse that freedom. Followers of Christ are set free to live by the Spirit, not their sinful natures. Followers of Christ live a balanced life of mutual responsibility, mutual accountability, and personal responsibility. At the end of this chapter, Paul makes this statement. This whole thing is about started by circumcision, right? This argument over circumcision. Should Gentile Christians have to be circumcised like and become a Jew first? Or in addition to Christ? Paul says this in verse 14 or 15. He says, neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything. What counts is a new creation. As followers of Christ, you and I are new creations. And that's the only thing that matters. That's the basis for everything. The law of Christ has made us new. So I want to encourage you today to pray for yourself and for others. To look, to get your eyes open, to see who needs help around you that you can come beside them and lift up their load. To examine yourself. I'm asking you to do those things and to accept. Accept help when your load is too big. Now, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you can become one. And you can experience the freedom and the grace that Jesus offers. And we want to help you with that. Next Sunday is Easter Sunday. We're going to have a baptistry up here on the stage like we did last year. It's going to be filled with warm water. Hopefully it's going to be warm. And we would love, if you haven't been baptized yet, we would love to help you take that step. What better day than Easter? To give your life to God to be baptized. But you don't have to wait till then. We can help you immediately. So the invitation is yours, and what you do with it is your responsibility. But we want to help you in mutual accountability. Father, thank you for this word. May it go forth, may it multiply, may it strengthen us, convict us, and change us. Even as we sing this song, Lord, let's stand together. Even as we sing this song, I pray that you will continue working in our hearts and minds and bringing us closer to you. We pray this through Christ. Amen.